Well, this morning is the third in our Lenten series, Being a Follower of Christ. And for me, Lent is a season of spiritual reconnection and holy introspection. And with so much going on in the world, with all the political unrest in our country and abroad, with the daily challenges we face in our own lives and in the lives of those we love, it is very easy to get to the point of sensory overload, where the noise of life gets so loud and distractions and busyness pull us to and fro so that the still small voice of the Spirit gets muted because of all the noise and all the commotion. Lent helps us to intentionally take time out from the distractions of life and to recenter ourselves and focus in on the closeness of our relationship with Jesus Christ and what it means to be his follower in every aspect of our lives. Hence the theme for this month, being a follower of Christ. But what does it really mean to be a disciple of Jesus? A disciple is a learner, one who observes and follows the teachings of their master. A follower isn't simply a fan of Jesus who thinks that Jesus is a cool person. You know, there's a lot of people who think that Jesus is cool. But a follower is one who is completely committed to living out what he or she is learning and allowing it to shape and mold their lives. Romans chapter 8, verse 21 tells us that it was always God's will that our lives would conform to the image of his Son. It says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined or predetermined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. Now, to conform means to adapt or match. And that's why Jesus came, to set us free from the sin that prevented us from being the people God created us to be in the first place. Jesus not only set the example for how we are to live, but he made it possible for us to live that way through the giving of his life, which paid the penalty for our sin, breaking the power of sin and death over us, and giving us his Spirit, who assists us to live as Jesus taught. Now, Elder Kelvin began the series with the theme verse for the Lenten season from Luke chapter 9, verse 23, which says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. He shared with you that cross-bearing means self-denial and self-sacrifice, patterning our lives after Jesus as he walks with us as encourager, guide, and friend. Then last week, he continued by sharing about how essential it is for us as followers of Christ to conquer our doubts and live a life grounded in the belief that God is who he said he is and God will do what he said he would do. In seasons when we struggle to hold on to faith, a faith that is unwavering, we can cry out to God as the Father who brought his Son to Jesus for healing, saying, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. God is always ready, willing, and waiting to help us to trust him. So today, we continue with our theme by highlighting the women who followed Jesus. March is Women's History Month, and our denomination celebrates the gifts of women during this month. The Gospel of Luke, more than any other gospel written, highlights the participation of women in the ministry of Christ. Many women traveled with the 12 disciples and supported the ministry with their resources. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3 says, soon afterwards, he went through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chiza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. Now, in a culture where women played invisible roles, in which rabbis refused to teach women, it is amazing and very significant that Jesus had women disciples who traveled with the 12, providing for their basic needs as they shared the good news. In fact, these women did not hide in the shadows when Jesus was arrested, crucified, and buried, but they followed him to the cross. They were also the first to proclaim the good news of the resurrection when Jesus rose from the grave. And it is also notable that no woman is recorded in the gospel accounts as rejecting Jesus. So women, feel good about who you are. Amen? They were models of people who followed him faithfully during a time when it was countercultural to do so. And they had a positive place in the New Testament church. Now, our scripture passage from today, from Luke chapter 10, is a very familiar one. And it is appropriate for our theme, choosing the better part. It's Jesus' visit to the home of his close friends, Martha and Mary. Now, we know from other gospel accounts that they lived in Bethany and were the sisters of Lazarus. Jesus and his disciples often visited their home when he came to Jerusalem because Bethany was just outside the city. Now, in the ancient Jewish world, hospitality was very important. It was customary for women to serve and to make their guests comfortable. In fact, during Jewish meals, banquets, and special meals, there was a prescribed way in which each person sat around the room. Courses were served, prayers were given, and followed by conversation. And in today's passage, Jesus had 12 disciples with him, and all their feet had to be washed, and a meal had to be prepared and served. The scripture tells us that Mary had become distracted by all the preparations to be made and sought to enlist the Lord's help in persuading her younger sister, or Martha, I should say, in persuading her younger sister, Mary, to get with the program and help her. She said, "Lord, does it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." After all, this was not the time for sitting. Yes. There was a lot of work to be done. Amen. Have you ever felt like that? Yes. You were busy making preparations for something, and it seemed that those who should be helping you were occupied with some other thing that at least to you seemed less important at the time. Well, normally, Mary would have been assisting her sister. But this day, she felt led to sit at the Lord's feet to take in all that he was sharing. She saw her opportunity to learn from Jesus, and she took it. You see, women were not allowed to learn in ancient Jewish times, but Jesus changed all that, allowing her to sit at his feet as a disciple would sit learning from a rabbi. Jesus was always full of surprises, was he not? He was always reinterpreting what it meant to live a God-led life. Even today, people try to put Jesus in a box and try to fashion his teaching to their own points of view and prejudices. But we must be careful not to do that. Jesus would be just as upsetting to our cultural expectations today as he was in the first century. His response to Martha's request for intervention is instructive for us this morning. In verses 41 and 42, Jesus says, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Verse 42 in the New Revised Standard Version says, "There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Now, last week, a humorous video went viral. I'm sure most of you have seen it. Of the BBC News guest, Professor Robert Kelly, who was being interviewed from home on live TV about the impeachment of South Korea's president, when his little daughter came bursting in the room with her little yellow outfit on because it was her birthday, followed by her sibling flying through the door with her walker, and then the mother running into the room, whisking the children away, all to their embarrassment. And as often happens, someone thought to make a funny video in response to this. But this time, it was a woman being interviewed, showing how a mom would handle the situation. Spoofing the situation, the woman calmly speaks about the complicated situation in South Korea while caring for her children, cooking a roast, cleaning the toilets, and even defusing a bomb. Now, this moment of laughter was a welcome diversion from a week filled with the continued drama of the new Trump administration, which seems to offer up a new batch of crazy and controversy every day. But the spoof says something about women. We pride ourselves in being multitaskers, don't we? God has fashioned us this way. We can hold down an important conversation, cook dinner, and tend to the kids all at the same time. Read the description of a capable wife in Proverbs chapter 31. You will find 21 verses of how a woman can care for her household, husband, and children, purchases a vineyard, plants it, makes clothing for herself and her household, helps the poor, and brings her husband honor through her giftedness, wisdom, and dignity. That is, until age catches up with us and we can't do what we used to do anymore. Amen. Now, being able to juggle many balls may, in some senses, be a gift. But at times, attending to so many details can distract us from what is most important. Attending to our spiritual life, spending time with Jesus in prayer and in learning the scriptures, letting them shape our behavior and our priorities in every facet of our lives. And this relates to all of us, male and female. Yes, the scriptures do speak against laziness. And Jesus even said in the Gospel of John, chapter 4 and verse 9, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." So yes, we must be diligent in our work for Christ while we have the opportunity to make a difference in the world for him. But sometimes we replace doing for being. Now I want you to hear this, because this is what is important in this message. Sometimes we replace doing for being. We think good works is the same thing as having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and truly knowing him. But anyone can do good works. And in fact, people all over the world do every day and don't give Jesus a second thought. They do it for their own personal reasons, to feel a sense of worth and accomplishment, but not to glorify God, not to draw people closer to Christ, not to be a vessel of God's love and grace. The life of a follower of Christ is a combination of doing and being, of learning and applying, of drawing close to God in prayer and study time and quiet time, and then being sent forth to share his love and light in the world in whatever sphere of influence you find yourself in. I close with a quote from Spanish priest and theologian Saint Ignatius of Loyola. I love this quote. He says, "Our only desire and our one choice should be this: I want and I choose what better leads to the deepening of God's life in me. I want and I choose what better leads to the deepening of God's life in me." As we continue through this season of Lent, let us choose the better part as Mary did. Let us choose to spend time at the feet of Jesus, listening for his voice, surrendering all within us that hinders his light from shining through us. It is in his presence that we find healing, power for living, guidance, renewal, and hope. It's in him. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. God, you are so amazing. You love us so much. You did everything to make it possible for us to know you and be in intimate relationship with you. And being busy and being distracted will not replace drawing near to you so that you could speak to us, heal us, cleanse us, deliver us, and mold us and shape us into the people you have designed and purposed us to be. So, God, help us to draw close to you as we continue to walk through this Lenten season. That your life and your light would shine through us, God, that we might point people to you, that you might truly make us whole. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.